Grace and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. The text for today is the Gospel reading, John 20, 19 to 31. That's on page 88 of the New Testament in the Pew Bibles. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. I was reading an excerpt from the autobiography of a superstar of the 1990s, an athlete, a professional. He was at the height of his success when he wrote in his autobiography that he was absolutely miserable and lost, even considering ending his own life. And he wrote, "I was so unhappy, it all seemed so meaningless. I tried everything and nothing helped. There was no peace. I had everything the world had to offer, but no peace, no joy, just emptiness inside." Peace is one of our deepest longings. We long for peace in our world, in our families, in our church. We long for peace in our own hearts and consciences. In today's text, we hear Jesus say three times, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you." Words which not only wish peace for us, but give peace to us. So today let's look at these three different greetings of peace from our Lord. First, as he speaks peace to our fear. Then as he speaks peace to our doubts. Then as he speaks peace and sends us out to the world. So first, Jesus speaks peace to our fear. In what sort of emotional state do we find the disciples immediately after the resurrection of Jesus? We find them behind locked doors, paralyzed by fear. A fear we can all relate to. Fear which is so often a barrier to so much in our Christian life. And it's into this fear that Jesus comes with his first greeting, "Peace be with you." Notice here, not a word of rebuke for deserting him at the cross. Not a word of condemnation for timidly hiding away in fear, but a word of peace. In the midst of this paralysis by fear, an unexpected gift of peace from their Lord. And then immediately, and somewhat surprisingly, Jesus points them to his wounds, his hands and his side. Why all this emphasis in the text on the wounds of Jesus? In the first place, of course, this is proof of who he is, but there's more going on here. As Jesus points to his now glorified wounds, it's as if he is saying, "Here is the reason I can speak this peace to you. My death and resurrection is what brings you peace." At his birth, the angels sang of it, this peace which would come to earth. And before he died, Jesus said, "Peace I leave you. My peace I give you." And now the climactic event which establishes this peace once and for all has happened. His death and resurrection. In his glorified wounds, we see what ultimately brings this peace. St. Paul put it this way. "Now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. He has made peace, reconciling us to God through his cross." And so the disciples' fear gives way
to rejoicing.
Have you ever noticed how this greeting of peace echoes through our own worship services, through our liturgy? So after the absolution, it is peace be with you. At the end of the sermon is, may the peace of God guard you. Before Holy Communion, again, it is peace be with you. And at the end of the service, it is, the Lord give you peace. This is no coincidence, of course. This is no accident, because just as on that first Easter Sunday, as the disciples gathered and Jesus came and stood among them and spoke peace, so it is here, Sunday by Sunday, as we are gathered, that Jesus, our risen Lord, comes and stands among us and speaks peace to us, especially peace to your fear. Because it's not as if the disciples never feared again after this. Notice that the following Sunday, when they're together again, the doors are still locked. There is an ongoing temptation for the disciples, as for us, to be overcome by fear. And so a continual need to be gathered together to receive peace from the Lord Jesus. So first he speaks peace to our fear. Next, notice how Jesus speaks peace to our doubts and unbelief. Fear is the big problem of the 10 disciples. Doubt and unbelief is the big problem for Thomas, isn't it? Now, for some reason, Thomas wasn't there on that first Sunday evening. And when the other disciples shared with him this eyewitness testimony, we've seen the Lord, he just couldn't believe it. Hence the nickname he has been stuck with, Doubting Thomas. But I think we should be careful not to be too harsh on dear old Thomas here. Thomas loved Jesus, and he had just had his heart broken by seeing him crucified, and so surely this seemed too good to be true. And no one wants to get their hopes up again when they've been dashed like this. But notice even more how Jesus comes to him in his unbelief. Once again, Jesus does not come this following week and give Thomas a good telling off. Where was your faith, Thomas? Where were you last week? You couldn't believe, well, that's it, you're out. Instead, he comes to Thomas in his doubts, in his unbelief, and he says, peace be with you. He even accommodates himself to Thomas' request to see his wounds. This is very significant for us, because we all struggle with doubts, don't we? And we all know people, baptized people, people in the Christian community even, who find it hard to believe at times. Perhaps these people are close to you, in your own family even. Perhaps these people are you. Well, this story shows us that Jesus does not write people off who are in that situation. That in your doubts, in the unbelief of your loved ones, that Jesus' wounds are for you too. That his death and resurrection is your peace too. He wants to meet people in their doubts. But he doesn't want to leave them there. This story does not make a virtue of skepticism. This is important to see, that Jesus doesn't say to Thomas, well, Thomas, no worries. You know, life's a journey and it's all good whether you believe in me or not, no big deal at the end of the day. If we read that into this story, we go down the wrong track. Jesus meets Thomas in his unbelief, but then he looks him square between the eyes and he says, stop doubting and believe. And Thomas is brought to this beautiful, strong confession of faith, perhaps the strongest in the whole Bible when it comes to Jesus. My Lord
and my God. Don't give up on your unbelieving family and friends. Because a part of the work of the risen Lord Jesus is to restore faith. And sometimes the strongest confessions of faith come from those who have been through the most vigorous doubts. So Jesus speaks peace to our fear. He speaks peace to our doubts and unbelief. Then finally, we look at his third greeting of peace, which is, peace be with you, as he sends us out to the world. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Notice, this greeting of peace is a little bit different. It's especially connected with their commissioning for a task now, with their being sent out to continue the work of the Father and the Son. This is also an important part of Jesus' greetings of peace because it shows us that this peace is not only for ourselves. It is to be shared. Remember, Jesus had said, "Blessed are the peacemakers." The custom of sharing the peace in some churches gives a good illustration of this, doesn't it? Where we receive peace from God and then it is to have this ripple effect. We share peace with those around us and we are sent into the world bearing this peace as people of peace. Now, when we hear this call to a mission of peace, though, there's two questions that could easily arise very quickly. Firstly, how could we possibly do this as the weak, fearful, doubting human beings that we are? And even if we could do it, what does it actually look like? What's the content of this mission of peace? And so Jesus goes on to directly address these two issues. He breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." So what is the power to actually do this in the world? It's not us, that's for sure. It's the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that empowers this peacemaking mission in the world. You see this in the book of Acts, don't you? Here are the disciples behind locked doors, afraid. And in the book of Acts, after the Spirit comes, they are bold proclaimers of the gospel everywhere they go. But then what's the content? What's the shape of this mission of peace? It's the forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness. This is striking. That peace comes in our world, Jesus says, through the forgiveness of sins. Everyone wants peace, but forgiveness is not usually the first place we go looking for it. If we're out there in the world, big picture sort of stuff, we might look at politics and diplomacy to bring about peace, which of course can be very important and have their place. In families and relationships, we might look at things like how we can communicate better and manage schedules and so on, which are important and have their place. In our own hearts and consciences, we might look at all sorts of things, like how we can change our negative thought patterns and keep a check on our emotional responses, and this can be very helpful and have their place. But Jesus teaches us today that beneath all of this, the driving force of peace is the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness accomplished by the death and resurrection of Jesus, and the forgiveness then delivered in his church. Jesus brings you this peace, but it's a gift simply too good to be kept behind locked doors. So he sends you out with this gift of peace through the forgiveness of sins. So as we close today, hear again the words of your Lord Jesus speaking to you. In your fear and anxiety,
On behalf of our Lord Jesus Christ, I say, peace be with you. Do not be afraid, but rejoice. Your Lord is risen. In your doubts and unbelief, on behalf of our Lord Jesus, I say, peace be with you. Do not doubt, but believe and confess, my Lord and my God. And as we, the church, are sent into the world on behalf of our Lord Jesus, I say, peace be with you. Peace be with you. Let us share with others the good news of this forgiveness and peace in Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, Amen.